Anyway, when I was in when we were in Mexico for the feast, one of my favorite songs was sung, which gave me the idea for this sermonette. It's called The Holy City, Jerusalem. So we're just going to have a little, as you know, I've probably told you many times before, I like history. And this is a little history of Jerusalem and some of the things that have happened to the city through all of these many, many years. So Jerusalem is representing a very complex and interwoven nature of life, experience, and even the universe itself. It's a tapestry woven with spiritual significance, political upheaval, and enduring faith. Excuse me. Known by many names in the Bible, such as Salem, Jebus, and Zion, it is a city inextricably tied to the story of God's covenant people. From its beginning as a Canaanite stronghold to its pivotal role in the ministries of King David, Jesus, and the apostles, Jerusalem holds a unique place in biblical history. Its turbulent past, marked by sieges, destruction, and restoration, reflects the profound spiritual drama unfolding within its walls. The first biblical reference to the area is found in Genesis. When Abraham met Melchizedek, he was the king of Salem and the priest of God Most High. And this meaning foreshadows the city's future as a city of divine worship. So if you would, you could turn to Genesis chapter 14, and you can read verse 18. And here it says specifically, Genesis 14 and verse 18, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God." Centuries later, in the time of Judges, Jerusalem was inhabited by the Jebusites and was known as Jebus, J-E-B-U-S. And despite Joshua's initial military successes, the Israelites failed to conquer the city, which was news to me. I thought they did. And if you would, you want, there's going to be a lot of little places we're going to turn to here, but Judges chapter 1 and verse 8, and it says that the man of Judah fought against Jerusalem and took it and smote it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. Then in verse 21 in Judges chapter 1, verse 21, this is the important part here. "And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day." So around 1000 BC, Jerusalem, still a Jebusite stronghold. But that changed with King David. And uniting the tribes of Israel, he set his sights on the city, recognizing its strategic value. His capture of the fortress of Zion established Jerusalem as the capital of the United Monarchy. And a monarchy is usually a king or queen that has supreme power, and that was King David. And in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. And David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built around it about from Millo," M-I-L-L-O, "and inward." Now, I had to look this up because I didn't know what Millo was. But it was a fortification that guarded the city's most precious resource. I just had some this morning. Water. Very important. King David prepared the way for his son Solomon to build the magnificent temple for the Lord on Mount Moriah, a site traditionally identified with the place where Abraham nearly sacrificed Isaac. Traditionally. Solomon's temple made Jerusalem the spiritual heart of the nation, the central place of worship for all of Israel. If you would, you can turn to 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 3 and verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had appointed in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. They still seem to be there. I don't know if they're there today, but it's what the Bible says. They're there. So in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 3, the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there. Now I'm tongue stuck here. Perpetually. Perpetually. After Solomon's death, the kingdom divided into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, with Jerusalem remaining the capital of Judah. The city faced attacks, including an invasion by an Egyptian pharaoh, but it remained the center of Judah's worship, the Judites' worship. However, the period was ultimately marred by the nation's spiritual decline and disobedience, as foretold by the prophets. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 9. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. So in 586 BC, the prophet Jeremiah's warning came to pass when the Babylonians, under King Nebuchadnezzar, besieged and conquered Jerusalem. The city was destroyed, the temple was burned, and the people were exiled to Babylon. That follows up with 2 Kings chapter 24 and verse 14. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths, none remained, saved for the poorest sort of the people of the land. It's going backwards. Following their exile, the Jewish people were not allowed to return to Jerusalem under the edict of Cyrus. And I only know one Cyrus in my life. Under the edict of Cyrus the Great, he's the new Persian ruler. But a second temple was constructed on the site of the first, thought to be more modest structure, and that was Nehemiah, who oversaw the rebuilding of Jerusalem's city walls, and he had a lot of opposition. You can read that in his own book. And if you would, you could turn to Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 20, and it says, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we are his servants. We will arise and build." So we're getting ready to do it again. Jerusalem's never-ending city. Under the subsequent rule of the Hellenistic kingdoms, the Hellenistic period, that covers the time in Greek and Mediterranean history after classical Greek, between the death of Alexander the Great in 323 BC and the death of Cleopatra, which was followed by the ascendancy of the Roman Empire, as signified by the Battle of Actium in 31 BC, and the Roman conquest of Egypt the following year, which eliminated the last major Hellenistic kingdom. And here's Jerusalem, saw periods of prosperity and conflict. And King Herod the Great, appointed by Rome, undertook a massive expansion of the Temple Mount and the temple itself, creating a marvel of ancient architecture. This was the city Jesus would know. So if you would turn to Luke 21 and verses 5 and 6, Luke chapter 21, verse 5 and 6, And it says, as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So here's the temple. It's all being built up. And Jesus is saying, it's going to get knocked down again. The New Testament places Jerusalem at the center of Jesus' ministry, from his presentation as an infant to its final days. He frequently taught and performed miracles in the city and at the temple, and Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on a donkey shortly before his crucifixion, his cleaning of the temple, and then his final days leading to his crucifixion and the resurrection are key moments in the historic narrative. So Luke 19, verses 41 and 42. Luke 19, 41 and 42. And when he had come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Matthew 21 and verse 12 also says basically the same. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Back into Luke, verse 23, chapter 23 and verse 33. It says, and when they came, were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. After his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples in and around Jerusalem. His followers, known as the early church, gathered in Jerusalem, where they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. That's in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And I'm going to read it here. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. During this time, the growing tensions between the Jews and the Romans, the Roman authorities, led to the first Jewish-Roman War, which began in 66 A.D., By 70 AD, the Roman armies under Titus besieged Jerusalem, leading to the city's eventual capture and destruction. The second temple was destroyed. Just read that verse. But as Jesus had predicted in the city, it was left in ruins. This destruction marked the beginning of the Jewish Diaspora, diaspora, is a term for people who share a cultural and regional origin, but they live outside of the homeland, and this is where the Jewish communities were scattered across the globe. The history of Jerusalem did not end with the events of the New Testament. The city continued to change hands and face challenges for centuries to come, reflecting its ongoing significance to Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Following the Roman destruction, the city was renamed Aleia Capitolina, and the Jews were forbidden to enter. That I had to check on, because I was surprised that they couldn't go into their own city at the time, but the Romans kept them out. Under Byzantine rule, the city regained Christian importance with the construction of churches, including the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. The rise of Islam led to the city's capture in 638 AD with the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, later being built on the Temple Mount. And then the Crusades came, resulting in periods of Christian rule, followed by the Ottoman empires. And here we come to 1948. Following the creation of the modern state of Israel, the city was divided. After the Six-Day War in 1967, it was reunited under Israeli control. For us today, the earthly city of Jerusalem is significant, but its ultimate hope lies in the new Jerusalem, a heavenly city described in the book of Revelation. This new Jerusalem is the eternal dwelling place of God, representing the culmination of his plan. So if you would, you can turn to Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. And it says, Revelation 21, 1 and 2, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The New Jerusalem is a city of peace and perfection, where all the suffering and turmoil of the old world are erased." And if you would stay on Revelation 21 and go to verse 4. 21, verse 4, Revelation. And it says, "And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." So in Revelation 21, if you would just follow down a little bit further, in verses 15, 16, 17, and I'm going to read this one from the New Living Translation. So let's see what God has been preparing for the new Jerusalem. Verse 15, "The angel who talked to me held in his hand a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. When he measured it, he found that it was a square, as wide as it was long. In fact, its length, width, and height were 1,400 miles. 1,400 miles that way, 1,400 miles that way, and 14 miles high. That's going to be a pretty amazing city. And then he measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick, according to the human standard used by the angel." It's going to be very impressive. What else would we expect? From ancient Salem to the modern state of Israel, Jerusalem has stood as a beacon of faith, a prize to conquest, and a center of conflict. Its history, documented in scripture and confirmed through archaeological discoveries, traces a path from a regional stronghold to the spiritual heart of three major world religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The city's past, present, and future continue to inspire and provoke as it remains a powerful symbol of divine promise and enduring hope.